Let's begin our discussion of a mitzvah that most of us have no connection to on the surface. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a very early mitzvah d'oraisa. There's only three mitzvos in all of Sefer Bereishis. So two out of three of them are pretty lamaisa. The third one's also lamaisa. It just doesn't seem so lamaisa for us. Right? Bris Mila, Puravu, opposite order, Puravu, Bris Mila. And now we have the third and final mitzvah in Sefer Bereishis, Gid Hanasha. The sciatic nerve. So, we're not butchers. We just go to the store and we trust that Nikur and everything was done properly. And really, we don't really get an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. We don't even get to check to see, oh, was it taken out or not? So maybe I thought about, we could think about some of the messages of Gid Hanasha. And, you know, maybe in that way have at least a partial fulfillment. As we know, the mitzvahs that we can't do, you know, is learning about them, just to maybe just start off with the Meshech Chachma, where the Meshech Chachma discusses, right? There are two psukim in Yisro and Mishpatim that are very similar, but they're not exactly the same. Right? One pasuk says Chav Dalet Zayin 24/7 in Shmos. Right? Nothing's coincidental, even though it's from non-Jewish sources. Chav Dalet Zayin Nasim Nishma, but ain't supposed to say Nasim Nishma. There, it does not say Yachdav. In Yisro, where a similar pasuk is quoted, it says Bnei Yisrael said Yachdav Naaseh, not Nishma. And as the Meshecha, it's describing the same event. The end of Mishpat and Perachav Dalet is Maimon Harsinai take two. Not a different event. It's the same event, just recorded differently. So why does one pasuk say Yachdav with Naaseh, and the other pasuk just say Naaseh Nishma without Yachdav? So it says the Meshecha. This is a back pocket Meshech Chachma. It's very usable. It's about Maimon Har Sinai, which you can talk about any Shabbos of the year. If you ever have to give our Torah and it's Parshas Tazria and you didn't get to look up the Musar yet for Parshas Tazria, you know, well, let's talk about Maimon Har Sinai because really Tzaraas was given in the Torah also. So I want to talk a little bit about Maimon Har Sinai. Anyway, so the Meshech Chachma says there's no way that any one Jew can do all 613 mitzvos. And how is that possible? Some mitzvahs are on Kohanim, some mitzvahs are on Levim, some mitzvahs are on Yisraelim, some mitzvahs are on Amelech, some mitzvahs are on Bezdin, some mitzvahs are on men, one or two mitzvahs are on women. So how could any one person do all the mitzvahs? So there are two possible ways. Two possible ways. Says the Meshech Chachma. Number one, if I do what I'm supposed to do, and you do what you're supposed to do, and he does what he's supposed to do, and they do what they're supposed to do, then collectively, we have all done more than tiring mitzvahs. And Hashem looks at it collectively. That's one possibility. Or, I do the mitzvahs that I can do, and the mitzvahs that I can't do, I learn about them. And that way, that's the fulfillment of that mitzvah. Right, if somebody Kohen Levi, or parents are Kohen Levium, right? Are there? There's no opinion on Ben. We had it going for a while until we had 20 hours of labor. My oldest son, and then there was an emergency C-section. So Baruch Hashem, healthy baby, but no opinion on Ben. So I can't do the mitzvah opinion on Ben. So you learn about opinion on Ben. Those are the two psukim, says the Meshech Chachma. The pasuk that says Naaseh will do it, actuality, that's Yachdav, everybody together. Cumulatively together, Nasi can actually do all the mitzvahs. Everybody does what they're supposed to do. The other pasuk, there's no yachdav. It's just me. Nasi v'nishma. We can learn about it. And if we learn about the mitzvahs, so then that's at least a partial fulfillment as well. So tonight, let's learn a little bit about the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha, the Avera of Gid Hanasha, Alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha ala yam hazeh, and hopefully in that way, be able to fulfill at least a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah, and maybe we'll see there are some yesodos in life that are crucial that for us to learn from this mitzvah as well. Three ideas we're going to have today. One of the ideas I've mentioned in other shiurim that you might have heard, but the other ones are unique to Gid Hanasha. Number one, the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch on Mitzvah Gimel says the Sefer HaChinuch Mishorshi Mitzvah Zu. What's the message of this mitzvah? Of not eating the sciatic nerve, the Gid Hanasha, that the Malach fought with Yaakov and dislocated his thigh, and because of that, we don't need to get an Asha. Says the Chinuch, Kadesh Yehei Remez Li Yisrael. It's to give us Chizuk. Sha'af alpi, sheyisbalu tsaros rabos, begalios. Even though we've suffered so much. And the Chinuch said this 800 years ago. Thinking about suffering so much. Okay, they suffered, the Chinuch lived about 1,200 years after the 1,100 years after the Churban. And on 1,000 years now. Even though we've suffered so much, says the Chinuch, Umiyad b'nei Esav. Right, that was recent. Right, the Crusades. Right, Miyad b'nei Esav, Sheyiu betuchim shelo yovedu. We have a promise that we will not be utterly destroyed. Elo la'olam yamod zaram ushmam. We will rise up again. Klal Yisrael will survive. Individuals might be lost, but the nation will survive. V'yavo lahem goel v'yigalei miyatzar. And there will be a goel who will redeem us. U'bizachram tamid in yinzeh al yidei mitzvah shatiyah lizikaron. Through this mitzvah. Because what was this mitzvah? It was the Sarah Shal Esav. He fought us. He hurt us. He made us limp. But eventually, what does it say a few seconds later? Yavo Yaakov Shalem Yirshchem Shalem. There's going to come a time where Klal Yisrael becomes Shalem again. Where Klal Yisrael will become whole. Yamdu be'emunasam u'bitzidkasam la'olam. Our emuna and tzidkos will stand forever. V'remezehu l'fisha oso malach shenilchem of Yaakov Avinu. That malach that fought with Yaakov. Shebaba kabbalah shayisaro shal Esav. That our mesoris that he was the sar of Esav. Ratzal la'akro li'Yaakov in olam. He wanted to uproot Yaakov. He wanted to get rid of us. Hu v'zaro v'lo yacholo. He was unable to. He was unable to. V'tziaro b'negiyas hayarech. He gave him terrible pain. By pushing the thigh. V'chein zera Esav mitzar lezera Yaakov. Also his descendants. As the Sefer HaChinuch says. We don't know exactly who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. We thought for hundreds of years that it was the Ra'ah, Rav Aaron Alevi. But now they, if you look in the Hakdamah to the Minchas Chinuch, they quote that 10 stiras between the Ra'ah elsewhere and the Minchas and the Chinuch. So we assume it's somebody from that generation. Maybe his brother or Pinchas Alevi. But it's from that generation. The generation of the Rashba. Right, that generation. So he saw a lot of tzaros. Ula basof tielahem Yeshua mehem. At the end, there will be Yeshua. Kamoshe matzinu ba'av shezarcha lo Hashem eshul refuasa. Like we find by the father, by Yaakov, that the sun shined for him. V'nosha min hatzar, and we were saved from the pain. Ken yizrach lanu Hashem eshul Mashiach. V'yirpeenu mitzareinu v'yagaleinu. Amen b'mehar v'yamein. Right, that's not so common for the chinuch to say. The Chinuch's not giving like a vart at the end of, you know, a drasha before Musaf here. This is just a side point that I just thought of to add in here. He has a siv, Yibbeinu Misarim V'Yalinu Amim Mer Yameinu. If you look in the, there's a Rambam. I think it's in Ms. Hilchas Paraduma. I think it's Beis Beis. Or the end of Perak Beis. The end of Perak Gimel, I don't remember. You'll see it. The Rambam talks of quotes from the Mishnah Ms. Hilchas Para. The Mishnah in Para says there are 10 paradumas in history. One of the days of Moshe. Eight in the days after Moshe Rabbeinu from the times of Bayesheni through Bayesheni. That's 9. Number 10 is going to be when Mashiach comes. That's what the Mishnah says in Para. There's going to be a 10th paraduma. And I guess that would be enough magically to retire all of Klal Yisrael. But the Rambam ends off that parak. The 10th will be, you know, Bizmani Moshe Mashiach. Mehera Yigala. This is Mishnah Torah, where every word is thought out and perfected. It's not even Pirush Mishnayos and Marnevuchim, which was written in Arabic. This is the only thing the Rambam wrote in Hebrew. And every word is thought out. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Kedar Kavakodesh. Right, not a coincidence that he says this Vart. Right, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Why does Rambam add in those two words? This is Halacha. This is Mishnah Torah. What's he throwing in? Amir Tashem. Meher B'meinu Amen. Right, he says Mehera Yigala. Because every Jew has to have that automatic reaction that if you're talking about Mashiach, you have to say, it should happen soon. It has to be the reaction that we have. We spoke last week about Eliyahu Navi a little bit. But, so that's why I think the Chinuch adds this in too. Can he's talking about Hashem saves us? Can you zachlanu Hashem shavashiyah for your pen? It's a rinav yigaleinu. Amen. Merav yamein. I don't remember another chinuch where he says such a line. Okay. Either way, this is idea number one, and it's also mentioned by the Ramban. The Ramban in this week's parsha talks about what the message of Gid Hanasha is. Gid Hanasha reminds us, the story of Yaakov Avinu reminds us that throughout the pain, throughout the tsaris, there is still hope, and we have to recognize that we might not understand all of the tsaris, but we know Hashem will be there for us. Hashem will not let us pass on. Many of the Tanoim didn't want to live during these Doros. Right? Yaakov Shalem. Right? There's a famous article by Mark Twain in the 1850s where he talks about... There's two famous Mark Twains. Right, one of them is that how Israel is so desolate and there's nothing more desolate than the Palestine of Hulu, and then, you know, all of a sudden it started blossoming. And the other Mark Twain is that it's called The Jew, I forgot, Essay on the Jews, something like that. You can look it up, I'm sure. But he talks about how he has no idea how the Jews are still around, because it doesn't make sense how every other empire went up and down and up and down, and all of a sudden the Jews are still around, but That's Gid Hanasha. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Hashem is behind. And whenever we don't eat Gid Hanasha, the next time you get to eat some meat, you can think about there's no Gid Hanasha in this meat. We're still here. Right? And think about that idea of...
Is that a Kiyum HaSei if you think about that?
What?
Is that a Kiyum HaSei?
It's something. Okay. It's definitely something. It's not Bittul Torah. No, but it's definitely... you're allowed to think about it in the bathroom, though, too. The goblets that have been Israel are still around. So I think, getting into the biblical stories about that, maybe not. But it's definitely something. Number one. Okay, that's number one. Hopefully we're going to try to tie these three ideas together at the end. So just keep them in mind. This is idea number one. Idea number two, and this is what has been mentioned in the past, but again, it's such a Yesodos Dick Rambam that one should review it every year. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf, source number three. Noig b'tahara v'ena noig b'tameya. There's a machlokas tanoim. If I eat the Gid Hanasha of a non-kosher animal, how many averas do I get? How many averas do I get? I definitely get the avera of not kosher. But do I get the avera also of Gid Hanasha? This gets into issues of ein iser chalal iser. That's true. One iser kavi chalal, another one. But leaving that aside, machlokas tanoim. The Tanakhama says only kosher animals. If I eat the Gid Hanasha of a non-kosher animal, I only get the aveira of non-kosher. Noig b'tahara v'ino noig b'tameya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af b'tameya. Yehuda said, no, even by non-kosher animals. It's always very exciting when you read a detail in the Gemara and it does not sound so exciting. It seems like just a detail in Halacha. And then you see something about it that opens up our eyes. Wow. Okay, machlokas, but again, I should apply to a kosher or also non-kosher animals. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda. Follow me, b'nei... Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring you a raya that it applies to non-kosher animals. Follow me, b'nei Yaakov Nasser Gid Hanasha. The brothers didn't eat Gid Hanasha, it says in this week's parasha. And yet, they didn't have hilchos kashrus. The brothers were allowed to eat horse. The brothers were allowed to eat not kosher, and yet they were not allowed to eat Gid Hanasha. So what do you see? Gid Hanasha applies to non-kosher animals. So, chachamim, that's a raya, that it applies even to non-kosher animals. Omru lo, the chachamim say back, no raya. No raya. B'sinai ne'emar, Ela shenechtav bimkomo. What does that mean? B'sinai ne'amar, but it was nechtav bimkomo. So Rashi has one pshat on the Mishnah that I did not give you, which itself is an unbelievable pshat. It was a pasuk that was added in. But the Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam right here in the Pirush Mishnah is Chulin Daf Kuf. What does it mean? B'sinai ne'amar lo shenechtav bimkomo. Says the Rambam. B'sim limcha l'kala gadol azeh amuv mishnah zu. Listen up to this klal that it states in this Mishnah. V'hu amram misinai ne'esar. That's his girsah. It was Aser at Sinai. Vehu she'ata tzarech ladas. She'kol ma she'anu nizhar mimenu. O osim oso hayom. Everything that we do today, says the Rambam. Every mitzvah that we do, every los aseh that we don't do. Everything we do has one source. Gid Hanasha is not from the Avos. Avram and Achai is not from Noach. And Bris Milah is not from Abraham. That might be the history of the mitzvah. But that's not why we have to do the mitzvah. Our halachic obligations for mitzvos all started at Har Sinai. Ein anu osim zos ela mibnei tzivo Hashem aydei Moshe. Lo mipnei shashem tzivo b'kach l'neviyim shekadmu. Not because that Hashem commanded them to earlier neviyim. Dugma l'kach. For example, ein anu ochlem eivir menachai. Why don't we eat a limb of a live animal? Lo mipnei shashem asar al b'nei noach eivir menachai. It's not because Hashem told Noach, don't eat eivir menachai. Ela mibnei shem Moshe asar lanu eivir menachai. Moshe asered it. B'mashin itztave b'sinai. Sheyishair Avram and Achai Usr. Moshe tells us at our Sinai, Avram and Achai remains Usr. I'm telling you it's Usr. You're right, it existed beforehand, but that has nothing to do with you. I am reiterating Avram and Achai. V'chein ein anu malin, v'glal she'Avram Avinu malas atzmo v'anshei beso. Why do we do Bris Milah? Not because Avram Avinu did Bris Milah. Ela b'bnei she'Hashem sivano ha'idei Moshe lihimo. Hashem told Moshe, "Kimoshe mol Avram alav shalom." It continues, but there's a break. There's a halachic break. V'chulu, and if the Rambam says, "Halo tira," what did Chazal tell us? Sheish me'os v'shlosh esri mitzvos nemar lo Moshe mi'Sinai. How many mitzvos do we get at our Sinai? Not 606 with seven holdovers. 613. 613 mitzvos at Har Sinai, and that's what the Rabbanan are telling Rabbi Yehuda. You want to bring me a raya that the brothers ate horse, but they could have eaten horse, but they didn't eat Gidanasha, the Gidanasha applies to non-kosher animals? Don't bring me proofs from before Har Sinai. That has nothing to do with our halachic obligations. There's a difference between the history of a mitzvah. The history is Milah and Avram Avinu, but why do we have to do the mitzvahs? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us at Har Sinai to do the mitzvahs.
What does that do for any rose on Hayim and Dibor?
That's a great question. Again, any mitzvah that applies post has to be have been reiterated by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we can learn maybe principles, not the mitzvahs themselves, but certain principles. But again, that's why it's more difficult. That's why the Chazal, you know, the Rishonim talk about. What?
Matzah is not reiterated.
Matzah, that's a question. Not everything is reiterated explicitly in the Torah. Right, Puravu is not reiterated again in the Torah. There is many. Gidanasha is not said again in the Torah. So there's many, but Chazal assumed that it was reiterated when it was given. Where else does this come up? Another example. Beginning of Hilchos Avel, the Rambam tells us. Source number 5. Mitzvah Zaseh Lehisabel Alakrovin. There's a mitzvah daraisa to mourn. Right, mitzvahs, this is not a mitzvah that we should ever want to do or we should ever have to do. A mitzvah does not mean, you know, we shouldn't want to do all mitzvahs. Mitzvah means whatever the situation is, Hashem tells us how to react. And Rachman al-Aslan, if somebody loses one of the seven primary relatives, there's a mitzvah to act in a certain way. Shneamar, and we learned that from a pasuk by Aaron HaKohen, V'yachalti chadas hayom, ayete b'nei Hashem, when his two sons died. Ve'ein avelus min haTorah elo b'yom rishon b'lvad shu yom hamisa v'yom hakvura. But the Rambam tells us avelus d'oraisa is itself limited. It's only if death and burial are on the same day, which often does not happen, especially in Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, they bury at night, so therefore it's a little more common. But if somebody dies one day and burial the next day, there's no avelus d'oraisa. At most, you're going to get one day. Aval shara shiva einam shiva yama ena din Torah. Says the Rambam, but the other 7 days of shiva are not daraisa. And then the Rambam asks a kasha on himself. Not from a Gemara and not from a Mishnah, but from a pasuk. Afapi Shinamra Batara. How can I say that Avelis is only one day? Shiva is only one day. It says the brother set Shiva for Yaakov for 7 days. You don't get a better source than that. It's in the Torah. In the Torah, it says they sat for 7 days. Isn't that the best makar d'oraisa that you can have? Afapi Shinamra Batara Vayasla Avavavel Shivas Yamim. Answers the Rambam. Nitna Torah. The Torah was given and halacha was renewed. So if we would have just seen that Rambam, we would say, what is he talking about? But with the background of Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin, we understand exactly what he's saying. The history of Avelos was beforehand, yes. But what they did beforehand does not obligate us. The source of our halachic Mesorah is only from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. One other example for tonight, and I'll leave the other ones. We know we're in the Parshios of the Avos, last week's Parsha, and this week's Parsha, right? The Avos created Tefillah, right? Last week's Parsha was the final one, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachas, Daf Chavav, Itmar, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Amar Tefillos, Avos Tiknum, Rabbi Yosef Bishub and Levi, Amar Tefillos, Keneged Tmidim Tiknum. Machlokes, Tmidim, or Avos. It's a bona fide Machlokes. Are there nafkaminas between these two opinions? So it doesn't say explicitly any nafkamina in the Gemara. There's a Rashi in Shabbos that says, maybe Myrif. Tfilas Arvis Roshus, Tfilas Arvis Keva. That's on the next daf in Brachas, in daf Chav Zayin, but the Gemara never links the two. But that could be a nafgamina. Many assume that. But
Tashtumen.
What?
Tashtumen.
That's just a ramification of Tfilas Arvis Roshus. That wouldn't be a separate, you know, if you say Tfilas Arvis Roshus is a nafgamina, then Tashtumen could be a nafgamina. But there could be a nafgamina. It seems like a bona fide machlokas. The problem is the Rambam quotes both opinions. How could the Rambam quote both opinions if it's a machlokas? The Rambam Hinochas Malachim, in source number 7, the Rambam tells us, he goes through the history of the mitzvahs, Ashisha Dvarim Nitztavu Adam Arishon, Avod Azor, Gila Raish, Vechalev Vechulu, and then he goes through, Vechina Yedavar Bechol Olam Ad Avraham, Ba'Avraham, Nitztavu Yesra, Leilu B'Mila, Vehu, Hispalal Shachris, Yitzchak Yivish Meiser, Vehosu Tfila Acheres, Lefnos Hayom. Interesting, he doesn't call it Mincha, because... Question, why would it be called Mincha? V'yaka hosef yin anoshe v'spalo arvis. V'chulu v'mitzrayim nisabu amr mitzvos yaseiros. Until we have all of them. So he quotes in Hilchas Malachim, Tfilos, neged avos tiknum. And yet in Hilchas Tfila, the Rambam says in source number 8, v'chein tiknu shi minyan ha-tfilos kemina karbanos. Shnei tfilos v'chol yom kereged shnei tmidim, etc. Hector chalavim ve'ivarim. So ask the Achronim, I heard this first in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Then I saw later, I found it in the Maritz Chayes. The same issue, same question. How could the Rambam quote both opinions? Avos and Tmidim. Says the Maritz Chayes, and Rav Soloveitchik also said it, but I heard it via Shmua, so I couldn't give you anything that Rav Soloveitchik wrote, but it's the same idea, based on the Pirush Mishnayos. The history of Tefillah, that's Avos. And that's the context of the Rambam, and Hilchos Malachim. He's talking about the history of Mitzvos. The reason Mitzvos are obligatory upon us, that's Tmidim. And that's in Hilchos Tefillah. And I gave you the Gemara in Shabbos, which we're not going to do right now, but the Gemara in Shabbos that has the source for that concept of that statement of Nitna Torah v'Nischat Shalacha. But either way, this is a second Yisod that's brought out from the Sugya of Gid Hanasha. That's what the Rambam says it. To recognize the source of our Halachic Mesorah. To recognize when it started. Al kemo yochlu bnei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha. Gid Hanasha reminds us. The sugya of Gid Hanasha reminds us. It reminded the Rambam of the source of our halachic mesorah, Torah min Hashemayim. So number one, the Sefer Achinuch, survival in Galus. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of history. Number two, this idea of Nitna Torah v'Nischat Shalacha, the source of our halachic mesorah. Number three, and then we'll see if we can put them all together. A third idea is a beautiful thought from the Be'er Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Misalant, whenever I mention him, I write what it says in the introduction. Rabbi Yosef Misalant used to give drashas to Shari Chesed, or Shlomo Zalman used to listen to them. Shlomo Zalman told him, you need to write these down.
Klal Yisrael needs to hear these drushes. So he listened, then Baruch Hashem, that's why we have the Sefer Be'er Yosef. Right? He was Nifter in the 1980s. So, says the Be'er Yosef, the Gemara has a machlokas, and this is a separate parsha thought, if you want to just say this, but also it's part of the shir. The Gemara Chulin quotes a machlokas, Tatsadi Mebez, he goes at the beginning of source number 11, machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Nachachamim, Rabbi Yehuda holds only the right thigh sciatic nerve is ulcer. Only the right side. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Eino ulcer ela b'shel yamin. And the Chachamim say, no, it's both. It's both. The right and the left. We pass in like the Chachamim, the right and the left. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes? Why would you say right? Why would you say right and left? So the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, what did Malach do? Rabbi Yehuda says, Malach nagalo rak b'yorach yamin. The Malach only hit him in the right leg, in the right thigh, so only the right one. Okay, sounds good. What did the Chachamim say? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Amri, Me'achorei Asi, he came from the back. The Malach came from, I'm just reading the Gemara. The Malach came from the back, Vanashe Bitravayu, and dislocated both of them. So Rabbi Yehuda says, he only dislocated the right one. And the Chacham say, no, he came from the back and moved both of them. It would be very hard and unlikely and not appetizing to say that this is a machlokas about history. We never like to say that. It's a machlokas. What did the Malach do? So where'd they get that from? Who told them that? We'd rather not say it's a machlokas in Mitzius. It's a machlokas in historical facts. So says the Be'er Yosef, maybe there's another idea here. Maybe there's another idea here. Let me just ask one other question, he says. Why, if you look at the Psukim, what does it say? It says the Malach was about to lose. Right? Vayar ki lo yachol lo, vayika b'kaf yar. So he goes for the thigh. What does that mean? Why did he go for the thigh? Because he was about to lose. So says the Be'er Yosef, the Malach saw he couldn't get Yaakov. Yaakov was too strong. Sheliyakov lohaya yachol laharavel of gabo. He couldn't do it, but he went for the thigh. What, what does the thigh symbolize? What is it called? Yotze yerecho. What's that? Children. Future generations. The thigh means future generations. The Malach couldn't get Yaakov, so he went for his descendants. He went to try to affect his descendants. And what did he do? What did he try to do to the descendants? So Rabbi Yehuda says, he hit him on the right thigh. What's the right thigh? Says the Be'er Yosef, we know that there are two luchos, the right luach and the left luach. The right luach, the right luach. Again, in the Torah, there's aseres adibros. There's two luchos and aseres adibros, but who says there are five and five? There are a lot more words on the first five than the last five. If you want to really make it equal with the words, you'd have to like make a lopsided, like 2 and 8. But now, the minog of Klal Yisrael and the minog of the Midrashim, split up 5 and 5, 2. And the chilik is most popularly known as the right side is Ben Adam Lamakom, keep it up at aim, Ben Adam Lamakom, and the left side is Ben Adam Lachaver. Fine. Says the Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda went for the right side. He knocked on the right side. What does that mean? Ben Adam Lamakom. He saw in the future. He wants to get the Jews. He says, you know what? I'm going to knock their Ben Adam Lamakom. How many Jews in history are so nice, are so Ben Adam Lachaverodik? They would do anything for a fellow Jew. Anything. There's nothing like a Jew. From or not from. There's nothing like a Jew. But Ben Adam Lamakom is affected by so many. It's much more common that direction. I mean, Ben Adam Lamakom people, we also have to work on Ben Adam Lachaverah, but to totally reject one side, that's what the Malach did. He hit the right side. He hit the right thigh, symbolizing the right luach. So many Jews in history are not being Mekayim, have not been Mekayim, Ben Adam Lamakom, only Ben Adam Lachaverah. And what about the Chachamim? The Chachamim say, if you don't have Bin Adam L'makom, even your Bin Adam L'chaveiro is warped. You can't have one in a vacuum without the other. But the language of the Gemara, it's so beautiful. He came from behind and affected both of them. You think it's only one. You think it's only, oh, I am a Bin Adam L'chaveiro Jew. Bin Adam L'makom is not for me. No. It's really both. Because if we don't have divine anchor for a Bin Adam L'chaveiro, then even that's going to be affected. It's all here. I didn't read it inside. Uvechein hashalim. Adam hashalim has to have both. Bechelik shebin adam l'makom, shebin adam l'chaveiro. Hu adam hashalim begufo. Our avoda is both. It's a package. If we don't have one, then we're warped with the other also. We're warped with the other. And that's why it's not a machlokas and metzias about what happened. Everybody agrees he hit the right one. But Rabbi Huda says, if you don't have the right, you don't have the left either. Right, and that, of course, is the, I could say famous here. Because if there's any famous Rav Bartanura, this is it. Right? Top, I would say one. Not even top five. Right? Top, Rav Bartanura is the first one on Pirkei Avos, right? Where he talks about why is the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where it is. Right? Source number 12. It's a beautiful Mishnah, Shalshalas HaMesorah. Why is it beginning in Pirkei Avos? First of all, it seems to be a bad place. Why does it seem to be a bad place? Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Mr. Eli Yeshua, it's like the Torah, and then Pirkei Avos has not one mitzvah in it. Has not one halacha in it. Smile when you greet people. Oh, who's really rich? If you're happy with what you have. All these wonderful things, but that's Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. So it's in a bad place, L'chora. And number two, there's a much better place to put it. Where should it be put? The first Mishnah in Shas. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. And all the parts about Shas starting with a mem would still work out. Right? It's all okay. Right? It's fine. So what is it doing there? So explains the Rav Bartanura. You don't need Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai as the first Mishnah to Erevin. I mean, who else made up Erevin? Or Shkalim? Or Arachin, or Tzmura. Who, where else did those mitzvahs come from? They obviously came from Hashem. Pirkei Avos. Ethics. Right? Emor ma'at va'aseh harbeh. Oy v'sabrios. Maybe those came from a human being. All religions have their ethicists. So maybe Pirkei Avos. Bein Adam L'chaveiro. Maybe that came from a human being. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Our Bin Adam L'chaveiro needs to be rooted in Bin Adam L'makom. Because what some people might say is an act of chesed, physician-assisted suicide, we call murder. And what some people call, oh, it's ethical to be able to allow people to choose whatever gender they want to be, you know, we might have other laws and rules about that, about what's ethical. I mean, if we're not rooted in Bin Adam L'makom, then our Bin Adam L'chaveiro might even be affected. Just parenthetically. It's not really related, but it's semi. You know, sometimes people are so open-minded, their brain falls out. All right, so one has to recognize that there's a limit in terms of that, but our package of our Avodas Hashem, it is that, exactly that, it's a package. You can't have one without the other. Our Avoda is comprehensive. They work with each other. And that's what Ginan Asha teaches me. And that's also beautifully connected with the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, we don't have time to read the whole thing, but in Parshas Akev, in Source 13, he talks about what the words Kol HaMitzvah, all the mitzvah. What's all the mitzvah? Right, so Rashi says, Ena mitzvah nikra l'meisha gomra. So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Kol HaMitzvah means mitzvahs are a package deal. Mitzvahs, as we know, Kabbalistically, are connected to the limbs and the sinews in our body. You ever go to a doctor and say to the doctor, "Doctor, my pinky is killing me." And he looks at you and says, "You have 9 good ones, no? What's your problem? You have 10 toes and 9 great fingers. What are you complaining about?" It's like, "No, but my pinky is hurting." "Okay, it's just your pinky. Don't worry about your pinky. You have 19 other digits that are great." It's like, "No, but this is affecting my whole body. We have 612, it's good. I have to do this mitzvah, that one's not so." It's a package. Kol HaMitzvah. It's a comprehensive package. And that's the third lesson of Gid HaNasha. It's the right, it's the left, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yosef teaches me. Everything affects everything else, and our avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comprehensive and all-encompassing. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back and makes sure that throughout the Tzaris, you know, we're still here. Number two, right? The Shalshalas HaMesorah and the source of our Mesorah. Appreciating Torah. And number three, it's about our avoda and everything that we have to do. The Sefer HaYikarim in source 13, the last source, discusses, we know the Rambam has 13 principles of faith. He came up with the Ani Mamins. The various Rishonim came up with their own Ikarim. The Sefer HaYikarim, right, which is one of the major philosophical works of the Rishonim, right, they quote, this is a subjective group, but they quote the four major philosophical works of the Rishonim. The Sefer HaYikarim, Mora Nevuchim, Sefer Kuzari, Mechovos HaLavavos. Right, each one is unique and different. Those are the four that many group together. So Rabbi Yosef Albo says he has three Ikarim, not 13. And he says, out of these three, everything falls into these three categories. What are his three? Mitzias Hashem, existence of God. Torah min Hashamayim, meaning there is a God, he gave us instructions. Schar va'onesh, the job of the human beings to listen to those instructions. So it's kind of a three, right, a tripod. There's a God, he gave us instructions in the Torah, and when we fulfill our job, it's meaningful in life. Maybe these three ideas of Yid Hanasha are parallel to these three ideas. Right? The Sefer Chinuch is idea number one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge of history. He saves us. He watches over us. Mitzias Hashem. Right? The great Rabbi Yaakov Emden said the greatest raya that there's a God are the Jewish people. I think that's what Mark Twain said also. The greatest raya that there's a God. The Chazudi article. Harper's Magazine. I think that's the name of the magazine that it was in. I don't know why that just hit me. Number one. Number two. Torah min Hashamayim. Shalshalas HaMesorah. It came from Har Sinai. Right, source number two, the Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin. Schar va'onesh, our job in life, is all encompassing. Every part of our life has significance. It's all connected to each other, and everything we do earns something in the future, and that's what's embedded here in Parshas Vayishlach. So we're not butchers, and we don't. Maybe we'll never. I mean, I don't plan on it ever doing Nikur. I will make my shliach, and mitzvah go yizmei b'shlucho has its limits. Giving shir on Gidon Asha is okay. This is the machshava part of the sugya. There's a lot of lomdis in Gidon Asha about, right? The ein benosa, ein begidim benosa, ein tam. But either way, hopefully we fulfilled a little bit of appreciating the mitzvah of Gidon Asha, what it's about, and the messages that we take with us throughout our lives. Okay, stop here. Go on.